Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. You think we'll have any UCLA games at the Rose Bowl this year?
Man, well, I think the Pac-12 just said they want to play just Pac-12 games.
Conference
right?
only. Conference? Just conference only, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So there'll be some. Will there be fans there? I don't know about that. That's been discussed at a few, for a few conferences. But I think it's the Bruins. It's been so bad, man.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know what's crazy, Brad, is even with UCLA, you know, obviously being as bad as they have, Chip Kelly, obviously the coach there, but as bad as they've been, and, you know, USC, you could even say, not living up, obviously, to the expectations that we're accustomed to with USC, man, in this day and age, like, if we just get college football this upcoming fall, I think is a win. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even talking about results. Yeah. I'm just saying that if they actually even play, I think I'd be surprised at this point.
Well, it was interesting that Ivy League decided to shut down all fall sports.
Yeah.
And no one else really followed, even though I'm sure they thought about it. And they moved it back. But there's so much more money involved for the Power Five conferences that...
No question about it.
I mean, I understand why they didn't do it.
Well, I know the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12... Those are the, you know, three remaining of the Big Five, said they won't make a decision until the end of July what they're going to do schedule-wise, if they're going to go, you know, conference only or whatever the case is. But, I mean, look, for USC, how about this, BT? Two of their non-conference games this year, Alabama and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't mind missing those games.
And by the way, I don't know what Notre Dame's going to do, right? They're independent, so I mean, there's another school. So I mean, wait, listen, we could spend 4 months trying to figure this out. Oh wait, never mind. We have spent 4 months trying to figure this out, BT, every single day. We still don't have a solution yet, but this is all kind of part of the process. All part of the process. But before we went to break, so you know, I think when you mention, and I know Brad, you know basketball as good as anybody. When you talk about, look, Avery Bradley not being on this Lakers lineup, let's not pretend like that's small potatoes and that's nothing. No, that is something. And, you know, yesterday, and I know I say it joking around, but your replacement for Avery Bradley is somebody that's more offensive focused. That's J.R. Smith, right? And also J.R. Smith, a few years older than Avery Bradley. J.R. Smith, I think 34 years old. And there's also some great things J.R. Smith will be able to bring. He's got great experience. He's won a championship. He actually won a championship with LeBron. But it just shows how different these two personalities are. Avery Bradley is not going on Instagram Live or Insta Live and, you know, or IG Live and spending, you know, all that time talking about the room and everything else, which I found it to be hilarious. But at the same time, it's like these are completely two different personalities. How do you see J.R. Smith on the court? You know, for the Lakers in that role?
You know, the first thing I would say is he hasn't played basketball in almost, what, a year and a half, season and a half? I mean, he was
December of 2018. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so that's a long time. And what I really wonder is how much will he really play despite Avery not being there? I mean, I can see Caruso getting a lot more minutes. I can also see, obviously, Rajon Rondo is going to play. So you got the four guards when you start in Danny Green. I'm assuming that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was starting to play for Avery Bradley.
I agree.
Now, and then let's not forget, we also have Quinn Cook who's there, who's been a part of the system as well. So do you really play J.R. over Quinn when he's been there, over Alex Caruso? And let's not forget, Deion Waiters is also there. They signed him ahead of J.R. Smith. Now, J.R. is, let's just call him a wild card, because we know he can go off and give you 15, 16, 20 points in a matter of minutes. But when you know he can also get a rebound and dribble out the clock, We also know that he can go
in a tie game
for 4 or 5 in a matter of seconds. But he has won a championship. He has played with LeBron James. He is a veteran. He does know what it takes. I don't know how much the Lakers will use him. First of all, I know they're not going to rely on him a lot. I can see J.R. Smith playing in some of the regular season games, but I just don't foresee him being a top, let's say top 10 during the playoffs, because you still already have your 10 guys that have been there the whole season.
And the team's deep, you know, we know that. So I'm with you on that. I was trying to name off a couple days ago. I'm doing Lakers talk and I'm trying to name off. I'm like, all right, let me figure this out. All right, we got 10 guys. Somebody said, what are the Lakers' top 8 players? I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, they're actually much deeper than 8. They're going to play 10, 11 guys, and that's not that out of the ordinary. Lakers were doing that during the regular season. How about BT? What do you think of Deion Waiters? Are you confident that Deion Waiters, let's say, would have not just a role, but have, you know, an efficient role, be a part of this team and really contribute? Or do you think he's kind of on the outside looking in?
You know, that's a very good question. I think in his case, we know what he can do offensively, and he can create shots for himself and for others. So he brings that element that the Lakers really don't have coming off the bench from anyone else. And he can shoot the ball well. His defense is, you know, somewhat suspect. It can be better, and it has been better at times. But he also hasn't played much this season. So do you put him in?
I think he played 3 games with Miami.
What will happen is who plays the 3 when LeBron James is out of the game? Is there a 3-guard lineup now because you don't have LeBron in the game to give him some rest? And so does that mean Caruso is really kind of the 3, and you play Rondo and you play JR together, you play Rondo and Deion Waiters together with Caruso being that, you know, in that small 3-guard lineup with Marquise Morris, with Dwight Howard. I mean, that's something I'm sure coaches thought about, but I'm curious to see how it works out myself, actually.
Yeah, that's one of the questions that I think this will be part of the curiosity of just this whole restart. You know, I know it's been tough to even think about just the actual game part, but it's also nice, kind of refreshing to have that conversation. And I'm sure when we do get basketball back, there's also going to be conversations about, man, how weird is this? There's no crowd there. There's no this. Should they pipe in sound? All that conversation will come up as well. But you,
Al,
you
how about
you,
this? There's one name we didn't mention. Kyle Kuzma.
Absolutely. It's a big question mark. He's another big question mark. And I don't say that, you know, I of course, as everybody, we want to see Kuzma succeed. He was inconsistent during the season. He understands his role is, you know, obviously completely different than many other young players, and he's never played a playoff game. So I got a feeling, you know, BT, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree with this, there's going to be games where, or not even games, but just watching individual plays of Kuz, there's going to be times we'll have our hand on our head saying, Kuz, what are you doing? You got to swing that ball around. Why are you forcing the shot? You got to play better defense. But I also think Kuz is, BT, I don't think he's afraid of the big moment. Like, I could see Kuz hitting some big shots for the Lakers, you know, a couple minutes left to go in a playoff game, and Kuz saying, yeah, I got no problem. I'll take this big shot.
You know, I agree. He has complete confidence in what he can do, what he brings to the team. Maybe a little bit overconfident, which is not bad, because then you know you can, if you don't succeed and there's some failure there, you can bounce back from that. But listening to Kyle Kuzma the other day on that Zoom, he sounded as if he was more mentally prepared than before. He talked about painting. So if you're painting, that means you're really concentrating on those smaller detail of things. And then he talked about meditation. So he was preparing himself for this moment, which is a really good sign because skill-wise, he can do a lot of things for them. He's a great shooter. I mean, he strokes it very well, and he's improved his defense, and he's got better at his ball handling. He just has to think the game a little bit more, and I think because he has done this meditation and a painting, and he's thought about his role, And that can be the key for him, just playing the game the right way and just letting it come to him and not trying to force the action.
You know, when he finished that Zoom call, I had my show that night, and I kept talking about BT. I was saying, man, it sounds like Kuz has the right people around him. You know what I mean? Like, he was saying things that he should say, number one, and number two, maybe a lot of young players don't say. I love when he says, you know, I can go average 20 to 25 points on a bad team and have no chance to win a championship, but he understands kind of this position that he's in. What a unique position. And he kept saying, my time will come. You know, so this is somebody that understands, okay, this is the position that you're in right now. This is what the team needs you to do. And down the road, you know, Kuz is going to have a bigger role at some point, either with the slot with the Lakers or another team. He's so young, but I do feel like the right people are in his ear right now.
It helps having a veteran team, and the one player that Kuz talked about a lot was Jared Dudley.
That's right.
The two of them have known each other longer than any of us have actually known. They worked out together, I think, when Kuz was in college. They worked out together in Las Vegas. So you have that. You have Danny, who's a veteran, who's won two NBA championships. And you have Rajon Rondo, who I keep hearing is a great teammate, especially for young players. And let's not forget, LeBron James is the ultimate veteran. I mean, the guy went to 8 straight finals once upon a time. So he likes to bring young players along, and he likes to encourage Kuz because they know they're going to need him. So having all those veterans to talk to him, and the key for me with Kuz, he's willing to listen and understand what they're talking about. And if you're willing to listen, that means you'll learn. Sometimes you might have a few bumps in the road, and we've seen that with him, but then we've also seen where he's been this incredible all-around player out there. So I look forward to seeing what he does as well, because he brings another element that can perhaps make up some of the things they're going to lose with Avery Bradley.
All right, BT, I got an idea when we come back. This is
okay.
The only thing that I think can potentially bring fans together, bring Laker fans together, and I'm not going to take credit for the idea because other people have talked about it, so I'll get your thoughts on it. We'll do that coming up next. Brad Turner and Alan Sliwa, BT from the LA Times. Stay right here. Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we greatly appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Brad Turner from the LA Times here hanging out. Okay, BT, let me throw an idea your way. All right, okay. So we chatted a little bit earlier with Mason in Ireland. By the way, John says hi, and he was curious if you're going to Orlando, so I know that there's still a lot of moving parts. But this is the idea that was thrown out there. The idea was for Dodger games, but then – I asked John during Crosstalk, I said, John, let me just paint this picture for you. What if, let's say, Lakers and the Clippers are in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals, and it's in Orlando, right? Mm-hmm. And here are all these Laker fans, not just across L.A., but we'll just focus on L.A., all these Laker fans that are watching games on a night-in, night-out basis, but they got no way of cheering with other fans. You know, there is no... You can't go to a bar. You're not going to a restaurant. You're not going to Staples Center to watch the games together. So there were ideas about just using up some of these parking lots. Let's use the Rose Bowl since you're in Pasadena.
Right.
What if, you know, either the station or the Lakers or something like that, you start putting up these, these jumbotrons, these huge screens, and you put 10 of them up across the parking lot. And just like there's those drive-ins right now where you can go watch a movie – fans can pull up inside the Rose Bowl. They park, they take a seat, and now you got 2.5 hours of Lakers versus Clippers, Game 5. Mm. The way I kind of look at it too, you know there's going to be local TV stations that will come out and start covering it and say, look how great this is. You got all these fans that are here for a Lakers-Clippers game. Just using that as an example, kind of the highest that it can get from an entertainment perspective. And then on top of that, I'm sure you're going to have the ESPNs and the TNTs, they'll probably use some of that footage during their games and say, look what's happening down in LA. You got, you know, 10,000 cars that are parked at the Rose Bowl right now watching Lakers basketball, Lakers versus the Clippers. You think that would fly? You think fans would want to do that? Or do you think fans would be fine just sitting at home and watching the games?
I'm going to say that they would want to do that, but will we trust them to social distance?
Mm-hmm.
Because someone's going to walk in there or drive in there. They're going to have a little alcohol with them.
Sure.
They're going to drink a little bit. Mm-hmm. And if someone makes a great play, you want to high-five some person you don't even know. That would be the biggest thing for me to try to figure out. Can you trust all of the fans to either stay in their cars? Well, if they do, that's not quite as much fun. If they're outside of their cars, sitting on their sitting on tables, how long does it take before you run over? How about that play? You slap mm-hmm. someone a high five, and you don't have your mask on, and you're a little bit inebriated because you had a couple beers in the car. Then the health officials get real upset.
Well, yeah, that can't happen. And I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. You know, that would be my major concern, is just can the fans maintain that social distance? And you get so excited, you get happy. And we've seen over these holidays, mm-hmm. fans or people are just going out to the beaches. They're having a good time. And if they got together as Laker fans and Clipper fans or whatever it was, man, you could have some problems right there.
Well, that's the one part of it.
The moment there, but there it is.
Well, but here, what you're saying is right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's either done, but how are you going to get everybody to kind of follow the rules? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're right that there could easily be, excuse me there. There could be a ton of people that treat it almost like
bless
a tailgate.
You, Alan.
Thank you. Almost treat it like a tailgate, right? But that's not
right.
That's not what it's supposed to be, you know.
No,
it's definitely not supposed to be that kind of atmosphere or environment. But it easily can be. You're watching a sports game, and when you're sitting at home, that's kind of the mentality that you have. By the way,
I didn't mean to throw some water on your parade, there, man. I apologize.
No, you got it. Well, I'm better off. And I think for everybody, you're better off kind of figuring out what would work, what's realistic, than just. Than just running with an idea. By the way, did you see this, BT? I'll switch gears. Just talk a little football for a quick second. You see that the Jaguars and the Ravens are looking to have fans this upcoming season. Did you see that?
I did not. I've heard some teams discuss it, but I didn't know those two were among the group of teams talking about that.
So Jacksonville, 25% capacity. You got to wear masks at home games. And Ravens... So 25% capacity for their, you know, arena is, I think, 17,000, just under 17,000 fans. The Ravens will allow 14,000 fans. Would you go to a game? I mean, under those conditions, those circumstances and everything else, would you go to a game where there's that limited amount of people that are there?
I have to admit, I would not do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just me because I want to be safe with this until the very end. But I also wonder – how do they decide who gets to go to the games? And then how do you decide where someone sits? If you have sideline seats, goal line seats, 50-yard line seats, and they're telling you, you know, you can come to the game.
Oh, they're going to reconfigure everything. Top. Yep.
You know how are those decisions made? And someone's going to complain about it. And can you get a cold beer while you're there? You can't drink a beer through the mask or through a straw. I mean, there's so many things to think about. I would not go, but I'm sure people would, and it would be interesting. And would they also be sitting 6 feet apart from each other?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you yell and scream without yelling and screaming with a mask on? Man, that's just it's a lot to think about.
A lot of juggling. Let's just say there's going to be a ton of things to juggle here over these next few months.
Right.
BT, just because we're coming to an end here, and just got a few minutes left. I want to squeeze in just a couple quick questions. So Lakers, I'll go back to the NBA real quick. Who do you think grabs that eighth spot? Who do you think's facing the Lakers in the first round?
I am going to say the Portland Trailblazers. If I had to pick one team.
Yeah, they're starting to get a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah, they're getting some players back. And they got this guy named Damian Lillard.
Sure.
And it'll be Dame time. Now, they've got a lot to make up because they're 3.5 games behind Memphis. But I would not mind seeing Memphis. The kid, Ja Morant, is fun to watch.
The man.
Some stuff done. But I'm going to go with Portland. That's what I'm taking. What about you? Who you got?
So, I think what I've kind of said a few times is that I feel like Portland will end up with the 8th spot. By the way, if they play in a play-in tournament and Portland's got to win 2 over Memphis to get in, I still pick Portland. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's that out of the ordinary to win 2 games in a row against an inexperienced young team. You know what I mean? So, I do think Portland would eventually grab that 8th spot. The New Orleans, I know there's a lot of people that want to see that. You want to see Zion. You want to see, for the Lakers, it's different too. You get to see Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. So that would obviously be a fun series to watch. But I got a feeling it's going to be Portland. By the way, if it's the Lakers and the Clippers, outside of those two teams, what team in the West you think presents, you know, can maybe sneak their way through?
Out of those two teams, I'm going to have to say the Houston Rockets.
The Rockets? Because that's what Kendrick Perkins said earlier today,
they
too.
They got those two dudes on. Russ and James, man, they are a handful. Now, we've seen what the Rockets have done over the last 4 or 5 years in the playoffs. They've flamed out. They've shot threes out of their behinds. And
yep. Live and die by the three, and they've died.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. But that's one team that we have to keep an eye on because of the way they play and because of those two guards, man. Those dudes, they can get it done at any moment, at any time. On any given night, they can drop 50 on you. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot to deal with, a lot of pressure. They're coming down here all the time.
Okay, final one, and BT, will let you go enjoy your weekend. How about in the East? If it's not Milwaukee, what team do you think is the second-best team in the Eastern Conference?
No, it's been the Toronto Raptors, right?
Still think so.
The one team I kind of like, I kind of like Boston. I like that young team. I like what they're doing. I think they've got a good system in place, and they've seemed to have gotten by it dealing with Kyrie Irving, and they have a Jason Tatum, young kid is coming along, he and Jaylen Brown. So that would be my surprise team out of the East.
BT, that's a quick hour, but I appreciate you doing it on a Friday night. You know, obviously hoping that you stay safe, and you and I will connect soon. We'll get in Pasadena. We'll get one of those walks in at the Rose Bowl.
Man, let me know. I'll be around. Thank you for having me, Alan. I appreciate it.
Of course, BT. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon, and looking forward to having you back on soon.
Okay, no doubt. Anytime.
All right, that's Brad Turner there from the LA Times. Damn, that goes quick. Okay, we got halftime coming up next. Curtis, anything you want to tease?
Sure. Coming up next on Halftime, a topic I haven't thought of yet.
Okay. There's Curtis throwing out.
Masterpiece.
Throwing out one of the best. Curtis, we've done it like 4 times in a row now. You haven't thought of one? You haven't thought of anything yet?
I did. I just thought that sounded funnier.
Okay. All right. Halftime coming up next. Curtis and Jesse will join as well. Stay right here. Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So it's great to see on Twitter right now. You got photos of Chris Paul, the Thunder, practicing, Luka Doncic. You got some videos coming out. So they're in. They're in the bubble. They're practicing, and we'll see how it plays out. By the way, you know, just a quick update on this as well. MLS, it's rolling. Seattle, San Jose, they're playing right now. 92nd minute, 0-0. I point that out because we got an LAFC game coming up on Monday. But they have started. Sports is starting to start. And hopefully it just keeps going. So just that hour with Brad Turner, how quick did that go?
The hour flew by. It totally flew by. I'm almost pulling a U. I have a sneeze that's like at the tip of my nose that just want to come out. Doesn't want to come out.
Bro, that one was coming and there was nothing I could do. But
that was funny.
me up a little bit.
The thing with Brad is, you know, what's so cool about a guy like that? He's been in the industry so long, and I'm always observing, you know, individuals like that, and I love the respect that he gets. So let's say, for example, Lakers have one of these Zoom calls. When Brad Turner does come on, and you know, Allison Bogley, who's the public relations for the Lakers, she'll say, "Okay, let's go to Brad Turner." And it doesn't matter who the player is, right? They'll say, "Oh, BT, what's going on?" You know, like I love that. Like you could tell that there's just kind of like a genuine respect for what he does. So he's nice enough to spend an hour with us, and I could have gone easily another hour with him talking hoops. And he's one of the best to do it right now, and he's been doing it for a long time in LA. So good to get his thoughts on everything. Okay, Curtis, start things off, bud. What do you got?
All right, so this is all going to be kind of working on hypotheticals here.
Love hypotheticals.
Yeah. Well,
at this point, this is all we got. That's all
yep.
we got.
Yep.
So assume we're not in a pandemic, all that. We're allowed to be with each other. Sports are back. Everything's like what it used to be.
Okay.
It's so, like the Thanos snap.
Yeah. So let's say, put yourself in the shoes of, let's say, you're going to your hot dog eating contest. You're a baseball batter coming up to bat. Or you're a fighter, or maybe for Jess, you're a wrestler. What would your walk-up music be? What would your walk-up song be, or songs?
Walk-up music for whatever it is that you do. Okay, walk-up music.
Did you pump yourself up with any music before the hot dog eating contest?
No, I was doing crosstalk. So definitely it was just...
What about before that?
It was just
the leading up to it.
Me, Ramona, and Steve talking. So if you're talking that's my pump-up, that wasn't the case.
That's pretty depressing.
And before that, Jess, no, I was just getting the dogs prepared and getting ready for battle. What would be a good,
like, would you come out to some protege or something? What would it be?
Actually, you know what would be, you know what? I'm thinking if there's a Rage Against the Machine song that would just be a fantastic, you know, like to just kind of pump you up type of a thing.
So just off the, you know what? I'm gonna look at my phone. Because I remember I was planning to go to Coachella before this happened and go see Rage Against the Machine. So I basically downloaded their entire catalog on my phone.
Jay-Z, finding a classic Jay-Z song would be great. Love me some Jay-Z.
Oh, if you're going to go Jay-Z, you got to go with the – I feel like anything off Watch the Throne for a walk-up song. Because
he's got some old songs, Blueprint 2, that Ooh. I just – man, I don't know what it is.
Blueprint 2 is a good one too, yeah. You know what, for Rage – Wake Up. That's the one. At least for me, it'd be Wake Up.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be for
okay.
Me.
So Curtis, I would say this. I would say I'd have to figure out. Okay, the artist first. So Rage could be one. I think Jay-Z could be one. I'm just trying to think reggae, but I think reggae might, like, I don't know if that's gonna pump me up or that's gonna make me want
to, like, think of the right one.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going up to plate,
what about
I might be
Brooklyn
complimenting
music.
The pitcher.
See, if Kirk were here, he'd say, like, play that song that makes me feel like I'm in Brooklyn.
That's right. Say. Kirk's gonna go straight Brooklyn. Curtis, do you have one? Do you have a walk up that you would play?
Well, you guys know me in that I never take, like, you know, I always mess around and all that and screw around. I think I'd do something funny, but something also cool. So, you know, I look like a plain white guy, even though I'm half brown. I think I'd play some banda. I'd get something like
La
Chona and come out, because it would throw people off.
Mm-hmm.
It's true to me, because I do, you know, I'm very, very close to, you know, the culture that my family came from and all that. So I think it'd be something like that, something that would throw people off, make me laugh a little bit, because that's the only way I'm going to be comfortable.
Loosen it up a little bit. All right, loosen it up. Jess,
he's going to have La Chona as his song.
Did you find one that that you'd go to?
Well,
you're going to go Rage?
Funny. I've had... It's so hard for me to choose one, just because I've thought about this several times in my life before, and I will tell you, it's changed every time I hear, like, a really good new song. But I don't think it would be Rage for me.
Let me interrupt just for a quick second. How often does that happen, where you hear a really good song,
times.
And I'm like, no, this is the best song I've ever heard in my life. And then you hear another song, and you're like, nah, this is the one. It's the same thing with food. Food, you might have something and be like, this is just – give me this every day and I'm good to go. And then you have another meal and, you know, it's from a different part of the world. You're like, no, this is the greatest one.
I can tell based, like, on where I was. based on songs, like, you know, I'm like, oh, I remember this phase when I was listening to this group of songs. Oh, I remember when I downloaded all these super songs. I go through like phases of listening to the same like 15 to 20 songs, yeah, and it just keeps growing. And then like it just keeps, and somehow I have like an eclectic mix of wrestling theme songs to reggae to rap to classical, all up in my phone. But I think for me,
I think I would, just because as you were setting that all up there, I think Curtis, I'd go Protégé because, or Chronix, Protégé or Chronix. Actually, I think I'd go Chronix just because it's actually reggae that's more up, I don't know, upbeat, but it's got like some hip hop flair to it. But also, it's an artist that not a lot of people know. So like, I would like that part of it as well. So there you go. I went Chronix.
That's how I would kind of think about it too. I wouldn't try to go super, you know, all right, something like Rage. While it is amazing, I would try to find something different just so I can stand out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend is the biggest Thin Lizzy fan you will ever meet. And I listened to some of his songs, and there's one song in particular called The Rocker that I listened to. And I remember the first time I listened to it, I said, if I ever become an athlete and I have a walk-up song, or become a if there's ever a chance where I get a walk-up to something,
that's the one.
It's going to be this song. If you look it up, Thin Lizzy the Rocker, it's that very old-school rock guitar. There isn't a whole lot of vocals, but when you hear the music, you feel that energy. I think there's something so special when it comes to classic rock that it's like it's very energetic. It's kind of uplifting. It's like a very I don't want to say nostalgic, but it's just, it's not sounds you hear, or at least you kind of associate it with more back in the time, because you don't really hear that's kind of classic rock sound today.
Okay, so we got something coming up right now. Seattle and San Jose. So they don't go overtime. It's 0-0. This is something that you could expect in all these MLS games. They're going to go straight to penalty kicks. So straight to penalty kicks. So that's coming up, which is obviously, you know, as exciting as it gets when it comes to soccer. But let me just actually, quick little plug, Adrian Garcia Marquez, who handles the pre and post game show for LAFC. He's going to be doing the pre and post this upcoming Monday. He's coming up at 8:30. So we'll get a chance to talk to him about this big game coming up for LAFC. Okay, let's keep rolling here. Jess, what do you got?
Can you mute it again?
There you go. Nope, I'm good. You know, there's something going on around the same time every day, apparently.
They just wait until it's your turn to...
They wait. I don't. It's the ghost that's haunting this house. That's just like, I'm going to play a prank with them every time it's his turn.
Yeah,
it's funny. I'm just going to... Anyway, so it's kind of funny. We're going to continue this music conversation. When we were talking yesterday about what dead musician would you go back in time to see that you didn't get a chance to, you were talking about how you would play Bob Marley on Pandora and sure. just basically let it play. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing with Red Hot Chili Peppers, because anything from that sound,
fantastic. And that's great.
In general, it's great, and it flows. It's a super like energy vibe flowing kind of thing. So I thought of this. Take this hypothetical. You get $1 million every year for the rest of your life.
Okay. Bobby Bonilla, is that the question?
No, but good. Okay. Good reference. Yes,
Bobby
there.
Bonilla, $1.2 billion a year. He's good.
So he's good for the next couple of years. Now, Matt,
2035 or something.
Yeah, 2030 something. So say it goes past that for the rest of your, but you can only listen to three artists' catalog.
Okay.
If it is an artist that it is a current artist, every time they release a new one, you would be able to get a listen to that new one.
Okay.
Out of consideration, but you only get three, and those are the only.
So what's the $1 million thing? What's that part?
That's the – you get it for the rest of a year, $1 million a year. But the caveat to getting that $1 million is you can only listen to
three more artists for the rest of your life.
Three artists the rest of your life.
It's the MacGuffin of this question.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. I think, Curtis, you got three?
I have a couple I know off the top of my head that I can think of. My favorite rapper that I've been listening to forever, my boy Logic.
Logic's good.
Even from before he was big, that's one of those where when your Spotify is like, hey, here's all your most played music in your history ever. It's literally just peppered with Logic all over. I love everything he does. Revolution. Y'all know I love my Revolution. That's,
of course, it's good reggae right there.
You know, there's good times associated with anything that they play. Reminds me of my buddies. Okay. I don't know what the third one would be. Like Vicente Fernandez, something cool like that. Because I don't look like it, like I said, but I love me some mariachi when I'm in the mood. It's great.
Okay. So I'm gonna go Bob Marley. I'll throw Jay-Z in the mix, and I'll throw in kind of this one. This is actually kind of tough to go Coldplay or Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I'll go Coldplay. Throw them in the mix too.
I'm a little disappointed that you went with Coldplay over.
Be making fun of you.
I guarantee you, someone's gonna be tweeting at you in the next couple minutes.
That's fine. Here's the thing.
You would like Coldplay.
What's wrong with Coldplay? I was gonna say.
I'm imagining the comments.
That's right. That will be a tweet. Go ahead and throw that tweet at Alan Sliwa. Feel free to tweet me. By the way, I that is kind of tough because Red Hot Chili Pepper for so many years and they got so many amazing songs. But I don't care. You can tell me to listen to anything. Give me my million a year and I'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. I'm all good. Just give me that mill. What three artists you got, Jess?
So for me, number one would definitely be the Arctic Monkeys. I can listen to them nonstop every day, day in, day out.
Okay.
Number two would probably be Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
And the third one, that's where I'm having trouble with. Because the third one's that wild card. That third one is, I want something different, but also something new. So I'm struggling. It's either Run the Jewels or Brubra Danny Brown. And I think just because I've been listening to
no
him
idea
long,
who you're talking about.
You've never heard of Danny Brown?
No, Danny I think Brown. I would. I know Brown his song. Would I know songs of his? Like if I heard him?
You might. Know maybe one or two, but he's not really big mainstream. I saw him the very first time went to Coachella, and it was like that one artist that all of our friends liked, so we all resonated around him. And every time he plays, we go and see him. And it sucked. I didn't get a chance to see him the last time I was here. I don't know when the next time he's gonna be able to play. But he's a definitely different kind of rap. But I love him because you see his growth to where he was, kind of starting out very, you know, childish demeanor, to how he's grown as an artist and as a person. You can tell he's totally mature, totally understands his role as a musician and as an artist. And I love it. I love his growth.
Okay. So that's your three. All right, Chris, let's do one more of these. And coming up next, by the way, Dodgers team president Andrew Friedman was on Mason Island, so I want to play some of that before we get to and I'm drawing a blank. Adrian Garcia Marquez. So we'll do that coming up at 8:30. What else you got there, Curtis?
Well, you know, we were talking about JR earlier.
JR Smith.
JR Smith
dominated social media
the walking
yesterday.
Meme. Wrestling brain.
I laughed so hard when I saw the. My favorite was that food. You know, reading out the food menu, but
do you have that sound? Play that. Sound
I do actually.
Let's play it.
Let's do it. We got time.
Oh, 5 to 2 a.m. daily. Okay. Lobster bisque. Okay. New York strip steak. Ooh. Braised beef short ribs. Damn. What else we got? Shrimp and grits. With me. With that cheesecake though, they got that creme brulee.
He likes his creme brulee.
I'm a flan kind of guy.
Okay, go ahead.
So it just kind of got me thinking. If you, let's say you were again another hypothetical here, you were in the bubble.
Very hypothetical today.
Yeah. That's the mood I'm in right now. What would your go-to order be if you can only eat one thing while you're in this said bubble?
So we got to worry about playing basketball, right? So I got to be health conscious, correct?
You got to be strategic about what your choice is.
I already know what I'm doing. I already know what I'm getting.
So you got to be strategic. Bro, I could eat this every day for the rest of my life and be good. If I had chicken, rice, and vegetables, and that's kind of taking a little bit of a health perspective as well, because you're going to be in this, you know, obviously this Orlando bubble. chicken, literally chicken, rice, and vegetables. If you said, Alan, this is your meal every day for the rest of your life, I'd have no problem with it. Jess, what do you got?
So, two meals a day. That's all I need. That's all I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. In the morning, I want bacon and eggs and toast.
Okay.
Evening, mm-hmm. I want steak, a baked mm-hmm. potato, and some broccoli.
What are you doing, Curtis?
I love seafood, so I'd go sushi every night. I don't care.
Ah, sushi's a good one. Yeah,
and, you know, you don't feel too gross after you eat it. So if you pig out on sushi, you know, you're out for half an hour and then you're feeling good. So sushi every night.
You know what? Can I change? I want at least salmon like twice a week.
No regrets.
That's it. Jess, you already did it, bro. It's over.
Damn. I'm going to steal some salmon from one of you guys' rooms.
It's over. It's over. Okay, let's do this. Appreciate it, fellas. Before I get to Adrian Garcia Marquez, I want to play some of this back a little bit. So Dodgers team president Andrew Friedman was on Mason in Ireland, and I just thought, you know, great conversation. I thought he was candid. I thought he gave, you know, obviously a lot of honest answers. So he chats about how the team is handling COVID-19 testing and also the short season effects, the effects it would have on the pitching staff and everything else. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. All right, the big news for today, locally, definitely, Pac-12. Coming off the news from the Big Ten yesterday, Pac-12 will play conference-only schedule. So what does that mean? It means that UCLA was going to play New Mexico State, start off the season on August 29th. That's not happening anymore. USC was going to play Alabama on September 5th. They also had a game scheduled with Notre Dame. That's not happening anymore. So two of the Power 5 conferences have decided to go conference-only. So we'll continue to kind of keep everybody updated on that. Andrew Friedman was on with Mason in Ireland a little bit earlier today. And I want to play a few clips of this. You know, I had a chance yesterday. You know, we spent some time talking Dodgers baseball. George Castillo from the LA Times was on the show. So really just got to chat about where everything is, how Max Muncy is feeling, some of the players that hadn't reported yet. And here's the president of the Dodgers talking about how the team is handling all the COVID testing in regards to on a day-to-day basis.
Well, we've been really fortunate. We really haven't had that. And guys are getting tested every 2 days. And so much of this is about perspective. You know, this is a humongous undertaking and something that's totally unprecedented. I think we have to expect that there are going to be some, you know, bumps along the way, and it's about solving problems. And, you know, a lot of that credit goes to our players. Just their mindset is, hey, let's just take whatever happens. Let's all just stay connected and communicating and stay nimble, and things are going to happen that are going to change things. And all we can do is kind of stay together and share information and, you know, work together to get through this. And I think part of that just gets back to spring training and just the confidence and the excitement that our guys had to go out and play the 2020 season. And then when you take it away for 4 months, I think it made these guys even hungrier. And so our guys are in an awesome headspace and really excited about going out and competing and trying to win a championship.
All right, that's President of the Dodgers, Andrew Friedman, who was on Mason Island. It is kind of interesting, you know, for basketball, we see the perspective. The perspective is very simple. Lakers played 63 games before the season was shut down. So you already knew Lakers already had a taste of not only every team in the NBA, but they also had just a kind of an idea of, all right, we know what we're capable of. We know we got a chance to win an NBA championship. We know how good this team is, all the vets. LeBron's still the best in the world. Baseball, they didn't have that. For the Dodgers, they had just started spring training. And, you know, you're a couple weeks into spring training and then everything just stops. You didn't play one regular season game. They still haven't obviously done that. They're under 2 weeks away from getting that started. But with all that in mind, I like how, you know, I can understand how Andrew Friedman's basically talking about, think about how excited these players are. You thought you were going to play. You're one of the teams to beat. You're a favorite to win the World Series. Your team is absolutely stacked. And then, boom, you got to stop. And now they're obviously getting some of these chances to get back on the baseball field. Okay, another piece of sound that I do want to play. One of the big, I don't want to say question marks, but obviously one of the big topics this week for the Dodgers was the fact that David Price, who was really set to be behind Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler in the lineup, so he's going to be your, you know, your third starter, has decided not to be a part of this season. And here's Andrew Friedman on how they handle the situation with David Price.
First and foremost, I think it is an incredibly, like, personal decision, where there's no real right or wrong answer. It's totally personal, and different people are kind of internalizing all of this a little bit differently. As you noted, you know, went through it with David, and, you know, I talked to him a decent amount over the last couple months, and, you know, you could tell it was really front of mind for him and impacting him in ways that were a little different than others. And, you know, just tried to share information as much as we had. And, you know, when we got to the point of, you know, things were a go, you know, he drove here and was of the mind to do it. And I think in large part because of his teammates and, you know, those bonds that were kind of created even over a short time in spring training. But just got to the point where he wasn't comfortable, and we respect that. And, you know, again, it's just such a personal decision that that's kind of our role in it, is to be supportive and answer questions and share information.
That's pretty much how it is in, you know, all sports. By the way, it's not just sports. It's and there's some, look, there's some big names. I mean, David Price is not a small name, and who knows what happens. Maybe Mike Trout, we saw Buster Posey, decided from the San Francisco Giants, decide that, okay, he's not going to be a part of the mix. And I wouldn't be shocked or surprised if Mike Trout decided, who's supposed to have his first kid, I think in the first week of August is when, right around that time frame is when he's going to have his first kid. If he decides, you know what, this one just doesn't make sense for me and my family, this is the norm. This is the position that we're sitting in. And I'm a fan of, you know, so many people who have come out and are like, it's all good. If you're not comfortable with it, then you shouldn't be a part of it. And we already know that's had obviously some effect with the Lakers, with Avery Bradley. But that's certainly been the way most of these players are playing. Most of these coaches are there. For the most part, a very large percentage of the athletes and everything else are part or are going to contribute and be a part of the sport. But you got nothing against and nothing but respect for those who decide they're not going to do it. Last thing I want to play from Andrew Friedman, we know in a shortened season, strategy-wise, everything is going to change. It's not going to be the exact same. And I mention that because from a pitching perspective, one of the questions Mason asked, and I think this is a question that most people just have, how is the strategy going to change the way pitching is handled?
You know, our starters are going to be at kind of varying degrees of buildup when we start the year. You know, I imagine some will be close to 100 pitches and others might be closer to 60. And we'll just kind of balance that out with the order in which we kind of put them one through five, and also how we balance that with our pen. And we start the season for the first 14 days with a 30-man roster. So we'll be able to have more pitchers than we typically would, which will help us get through it. But so much of it will fall out of kind of where our guys are at that point, which is what we're kind of methodically working through right now.
All right, there you go. There's president of the Dodgers, Andrew Friedman. So that's where we're at. Dodgers will start their season 13 days from today. So yesterday was 2 weeks. NBA, we know that's 20 days away for the Lakers. So Dodgers just a couple weeks away, and we'll see the Giants and the Dodgers. And I know that that opening series is going to be so important for the Dodgers to get off to a good start, especially because you just got 60 games. Okay, I'm excited. And before I do this, excited to have Adrian Garcia Marquez. He handles the pre and post game show for LAFC this upcoming Monday. You got LAFC taking on the Houston Dynamo. You know, this is kind of a different perspective. So LAFC defender Jordan Harvey was on the LA Times and LATimes.com. And I think for all of us, we're just kind of waiting. Okay, can we get sports back, all this? But some of the behind the scenes, let me play this real quick because I think it's going to be a perfect transition right into my conversation interview with Adrian Garcia Marquez. Here's Jordan Harvey of the LAFC detailing his daily routine during this MLS's back tournament.
From the moment we got here, we got tested, and that's kind of been the name of the game is getting tested, and thankfully those tests have come back negative. A basic day for us is waking up pretty late as we're staying on West Coast time. kind of a running breakfast that you can come down at any point, and then getting testing kind of midday, and then trainings in the evenings. We tried to work in some strength sessions in the afternoon. Everything is a set time, a hard start, hard end, because we are sharing the weight room with other teams and the fields, obviously. So these evening sessions are getting some used to, because we always train in the morning, but it's been nice. You know, it's cooler, obviously, and then dinner and off to bed. But bedtime is a little bit later these days, around, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. It feels weird, but definitely getting the sleep in, and they're keeping us busy, so it's been nice.
All right, perfect transition. We got Adrian Garcia Marquez coming up next. He'll preview this LAFC game coming up against the Houston Dynamo on Monday. But it's not just previewing the game. We'll talk about just the MLS is back tournament in general. They're a few days in now. By the way, I completely screwed up the Seattle and San Jose. I thought they were going to go to a shootout. Yeah, no shootout. It just, the game ends in a tie. So I probably won't do shootout until a little bit later. Adrian Garcia Marquez coming up next.
Shootout is on Monday, Sliwa Alan. Show. Come on.
Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We got a big game coming up. LAFC has got a game coming up this Monday. They'll play the Houston Dynamo, and very happy to have on Adrian Garcia Marquez, handles the pre and post game for LAFC this upcoming Monday. Adrian, what's going on, man? Long time no talk. Tell me how you're doing. Give me kind of a little update of what's going on in your life.
Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me on, Alan. A pleasure as always talking to you, bud. I know that you and I would always have great conversations there prior or after Laker games, and kind of just breaking down the purple and gold. So now I'm just happy to be here talking about the cup-like type tournament in that bubble in Orlando, 2016, 54 matches. That was the plan out of the gate. Certain things obviously have changed over the last few days since Wednesday, but the plan for LAFC and Don Garber and everybody else in Major League Soccer is to continue, keep going, and see what happens next and see where this takes us. But so far, everything's been okay. You've heard some of the stories, obviously, Dallas. With FC Dallas and Nashville, they had a couple setbacks with regards to the COVID testing. But overall, so far, things have worked out, you know, pretty well here for the MLS. But obviously, it's a work in progress as we get ready for LAFC's launch.
Okay, so Adrian, before I get into LAFC, I'll just kind of get your opinion on this. Two teams drop out. They don't have a choice. Obviously, this is just the scenario that I think all the sports is in. Number one, are you surprised, or you think this was kind of expected? I know that's tough to kind of imagine. It would be the equivalent of the NBA. You got 22 teams in this bubble, and then all of a sudden two drop out. No, you're not expecting it. But do you think MLS, when they were walking into Orlando, they understood that, okay, this could definitely happen, and if it happens, the best thing to do and the smartest thing to do is put these two teams to the side and continue the tournament?
Yes, I think you know, we've seen great leadership out of the MLS from the league office all the way down to every club at every level. Everybody's working together. So I believe they've had plan B, C, and D just in case, you know, as best they could. Because as you said, everything is unpredictable. This is uncharted waters, uncharted territory. So I think they've done the best that they can to try and plan the best that they can. But obviously, things can get derailed really, really quick because of how unpredictable this whole COVID situation is. But I do commend Major League Soccer for the work that they've done in preparation for all of this and trying to have things in place just in case they have to make adjustments.
Adrian, what should we be expecting on Monday? So this will be LAFC's first game. I love this kind of World Cup kind of style that that MLS put together. And listen, even somebody like myself who's not an avid soccer fan, you know, NBA, as you know, and we'll talk some Los Angeles Lakers basketball in a little bit, but it's not my top sport. But at the same time, World Cup is one of the funnest events to watch. The Euro Cup, when they do that, obviously in Europe. So this kind of has that type of a feeling from a structure perspective. This is LAFC's first game. What do you expect on Monday to get things started?
Well, you know, like, and you're right, this format, no, first and foremost, it's continuous schedule, like you said, the matches nearly every day, some 6 a.m. starts. I know LAFC is probably not going to do that, or a 5, you know, there's going to be a 5 o'clock start, 7 o'clock start, you know, 16 consecutive days of group stage matches, top two teams from each group, like you said, World Cup, they advance, with the four best third place finishers also advancing. Then you have the knockout stage, that's going to have that round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinals, then the championship match that right now scheduled August 11th. So matches tied, by the way, this is something that we can expect as we move forward. Also, just if matches are tied at the end of regulation, you know, they're going to move directly to the, you know, knocking out each other via penalty kicks. Mm. A lot of people that are like on the fence, maybe soccer, like, oh, check it out. They love penalty shootouts, so they'll go right to it, no OT. And with regards to what can we expect with LAFC, hermano, they were cleared medically. I mean, everything looks like, as far as the team itself, they did everything right, arriving there in O-Town, going into that Orlando bubble. So now you have this, what they call, and in the World Cup, it happens all the time. There's always the denominated group of death, right? So you got the Houston Dynamo, Portland Timbers, the LA Galaxy, and the LAFC, and Dynamo's up first. Dynamo, Tab Ramos trying to change the culture there. They didn't look too strong as the season started, those first two games. But they are going to get a couple players back that were injured, that would have been injured through the process of the season. Now they should be recovering. So they should look a little bit better, but I'm convinced that LAFC is definitely the stronger side. And obviously the story, Carlitos Vela has decided he's not going to join the team. He's not with them. He decided to stay home. His wife's pregnant. He's got a 3-year-old. Everybody understands the decision. And, you know, this is a guy who sat out a World Cup. He didn't even report to the Mexican national team at times, so it doesn't surprise me that he's held strong to his conviction and here to take care of his wife, who's had a couple complications at times during his pregnancy, so he wants to be there for her and their 3-year-old. But that said, you know, he's taken away, that's 34 goals that year. That's 15 assists. That's 50 of the 85 goals that LAFC was able to put together. So now you got to replace Carlitos Vela, and this is where this tournament, if I'm a fan, you know, I'm on the fence and I'm trying to give me something to get me into Major League Soccer and LAFC. Mm-hmm. Rayito Rodriguez, Brian Rodriguez, Uruguayan kid out of Peñarol. He's going to get an opportunity to replace Carlitos Vela. That would be like the first suspect for me, first guy up to come right in and deliver some lightning there in Orlando and really take advantage of this opportunity that's going to be given to him by Bob Bradley. He stressed it, by the way. You know, Bradley said that they were all behind and fully supporting Carlitos Vela's decision to stay home. So they're deep. Alan, if there's one thing LAFC is that it's a deep, talented squad, and they'll be able to withstand, you know, the loss of the MVP, the reigning MVP of Major League Soccer, Carlitos Vela, and they're lining up to do really good things there and finish their business. Because last year, let's remember, man, it left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. They were expected to win it all, and then the Sounders, you know, came into the banco and took them out.
Adrian Garcia Marquez, he handles the pre and post game for LAFC this upcoming Monday. LAFC taking on the Houston Dynamo at 5 p.m. on Monday. It'll be their first game of this group stage. You know, Adrian, that is kind of a trip. I mean, when you say that X amount of goals, X amount of assists, making up for 50 of the, what did you say, 50 of 85?
Yep.
Okay, so with all that said, and they're still, you know, they'll still be the favorite in this group. I mean, that's amazing. You know, that's got to be incredible depth. I mean, it almost makes me think of, you know, a lot of the conversation right now is about the Dodgers, obviously in LA, the 60-game set and how stacked they are. And, you know, the depth has been the biggest strength for what the Dodgers have. Now, granted, they also have just all-stars everywhere you can look and literally MVPs. So LAFC has this much, you think, has this much of an advantage even with Carlos Vela being out?
Absolutely, because then you also have a couple guys like, you know, Diamande, for example, you know, Adama Diamande, Bradley Wright Phillips, those are guys that were dealing with injuries. They're not going to be able to play full 90 minutes, but they're feeling better. They're looking better. They're part of this whole mix. Obviously, you have Diego Rossi, hermano. That guy is he's money. He'll be able to step up as well. He has in the past. He always makes things happen. And Atuesta, for my money, the best young midfielder in all of Major League Soccer, creator, makes so many things happen. You know, so you're deep irony, you know, like I mentioned, you know, the Rayito Rodriguez and Brian jumping in there. There's another kid named Adrian Perez. Bradley's thought about, and he's mentioned at times that he might fill in. This 24-year-old kid can jump right in there into the mix. Latif Blessing is another guy. Speaking of the name, and no pun intended, but it's a blessing to have guys that are so versatile and can do so many things. Latif probably is the main guy that you could switch. Great job, central midfielder, but you can also push him up forward and do what comes natural for him, which is attack. So there's guys like him, Ginella, Cifuentes. LAFC is deep, hermano, and they'll be able to put it all together. You have one of the greatest coaches in the history of this league, obviously, in the 25 years. And for my money, I compare him to like a Bill Parcells. This guy takes a franchise and he turns them into winners, you know, runs the show, runs a tight ship, and guys respond to the way that he likes to get things done. And, you know, the wins always follow.
Adrian, how do you think, just staying with obviously LA, what are the Galaxy expected to do in this tournament? By the way, not just the group, but just the tournament in general. Are they expected to have some type of a deep run? Do you expect that personally?
I do, because it's the Galaxy and the high expectations. And I know those guys there in Carson obviously are very, very much about winning and very, very much about not letting LAFC keep stealing the thunder and eating their lunch in their own city when they came here first. You know, I got a chance to broadcast Galaxy games, you know, in the past. In fact, the only championship ring that I own as a broadcaster was given to me by the Galaxy when I did the Galaxy games.
Wow.
Kobe Jones, myself, you know, we had Francisco Pinto, as you know, Pancho Pinto well. Before we jumped on our Lakers cycle, we were on loan with the LA Galaxy. We were able to do those games, and it was a heck of a time. But one thing that I was able to pick up while I was there is the Galaxy is all about winning, looking for ways to win. And right now with Chicharito arriving, Chicharito being, let's say, a little bit of a disappointment arriving, but I'm well aware of who Chicharito is, what's inside that man's heart, and what's in that soul, and he's going to score. He's going to make things happen. I think just those first two games, a lot of people were asking, where's Chicharito? And Galaxy didn't look all that great. He wasn't looking all that awesome. But that was just the beginning. This is a guy who always finds a way to make an impact. And I would not be surprised that at the end of the day, you have LAFC in this fierce rivalry, Carlitos Vela and Chicharito at some point as we move forward into the future. But right now for this tournament, Galaxy has every chance to win just like anybody else. It's all about depth. It's all about avoiding, you know, any serious injuries, and obviously the darkest cloud of all, the COVID-19, and keeping that at bay, which I think is first. But Galaxy is a quality side. You know they're going to compete. They're going to bring it. And Chicharito has a lot to prove.
Adrian Garcia Marquez, who handles pre and post game for LAFC this upcoming Monday. You got LAFC versus Houston Dynamo. That's a 5 p.m. Kickoff. LAFC versus Galaxy. You know, as we kind of talk about Galaxy, that's coming up on Saturday, a week from tomorrow. So, Adrian, kind of exciting stuff here. I mean, I know for you, as big of a sports fan as I know, it's not just about, you know, soccer. Probably the biggest Laker fan that I know is one of the biggest Laker fans. So let me kind of transition here and talk a little Lakers basketball. We go into Lakers, right, Adrian? I'm just like in the old days.
You know, hermano, two's Lakers, me's Lakers, nuestros Lakers. Let's go. What you got?
All right. So we're coming in. We're coming into this bubble. Yesterday was actually 3 weeks on the dot before the Lakers take on the Los Angeles Clippers in Orlando for these 8 regular season games. So that's going to be the restart of the season. Just give me your thoughts. You know, here we are. Lakers played for home court advantage. They have a 5.5 game lead in the Western Conference, and then basketball just stopped on the dime. And now you're looking to kind of get things restarted. You got to regain that momentum. I love the fact that the Lakers got all these veterans and, of course, LeBron and Anthony Davis. How do you like the Lakers' chances now over when, you know, the season came to a halt back in mid-March or so? How much more difficult do you think this is going to be for the Lakers, or do you like the way they're positioned going into this bubble?
Yeah, I love the way they're positioned into the bubble. I mean, I'll be surprised if anybody beats the Lakers. And I'll tell you for one reason, and this is, for me, just based on my own personal opinion, and not trying to do any X's and O's and beat too much, like trying to be coach-minded or anything. But if Anthony Davis decides to, you know what, guys, let's do it for the bubble, let's do it for the NBA, let's do it. I'm going to run at center. If it's Anthony Davis, you have to deal with LeBron and Anthony Davis, because who's going to beat the Lakers? With Anthony Davis at center, destroying from top to bottom him and LeBron, and you know what everybody else brings to the table. I think it plays right into the Lakers' hands, this format, the way that I think Vogel's going to manage this team. If Anthony Davis completely commits to playing center and does it the way we know he's going to do, hermano, who's going to stop the Lakers? With all due respect to the Clippers, and I know, you know, that tormenta known as Kawhi Leonard is going to deliver, always does, quietly sets the example, the intensity. As we broadcast on the NBA League Pass for Mexico and Latin America and Spain and all that, we get a lot of Clippers games, and I was able to kind of observe them a little closer, see what they're what they've been building and how they play, and they are absolutely scary. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's the X factor. Anthony Davis, if Anthony Davis delivers what we all suspect he can deliver playing the five, I don't see the Clippers having enough to take him out.
Well, I actually like that you go to Anthony Davis, because LeBron is LeBron. The guy is still the best player in the world. Absolutely ridiculous. You know, not just a vet, one of the greatest to do it, and has an opportunity to win his fourth NBA championship with three different teams. So I think the LeBron part, we know what LeBron's going to do. Anthony Davis, this will be the first time that he's making a deep playoff run. So if he starts taking over games, which we all know he's capable of doing, and he's doing it in the Western Conference Finals or he's doing it in the Finals, that's next level for the Lakers. So, Adrian, I'm looking forward to it. First of all, I'm looking forward to getting a chance to listen to you do the pre and post this upcoming Monday. And then I'm also looking forward to catching some LAFC over these next couple of weeks. And then potentially when we get basketball restarted again, we'll watch some Lakers basketball. So thank you, Adrian. I appreciate you taking the time, my man.
No, Alan, thank you for having me, brother. Vamos Lakers, just knock them out. And again, I shouldn't be rooting. I'm not rooting. I have to broadcast. I can't be a little homer about it, but I was with the familia for 6 years, 7 years, and always hold that special time in my heart forever. I'm not upset because it ended. I'm just happy because it happened. So for all the Laker fans out there, thank you for your support. For those of you that backed us up on Spectrum Deportes and watched this as we broadcast Lakers with Passion. So now the fruit of all that labor, I'm happy for all of you that the Lakers are succeeding, and hopefully they get to raise another trophy for y'all.
Adrian, thank you, brother. Appreciate it, and well said, okay?
Take care, bye-bye.
All right, that's Adrian Garcia Marquez. Looking forward to that LAFC game coming up on Monday. He'll have the pre- and post-game for that. Are NBA players spoiled? Are they spoiled? I think that's probably pretty safe to say what's going on in the Orlando bubble. Let's talk about it when we come back. Richard Jefferson had a take on this on The Jump earlier today. Stay right here. Sleba Show, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I think we're all ready for the weekend. Curtis, Jess, you guys ready for the weekend?
Oh, I'm ready. Always ready. I love Fridays right around 8:50 because I know that weekend's right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Curtis, I'm sure you're ready to do what you need to do in the office and then take your bounce out of there, and then we'll come back on Monday. I'm sure that's your game plan right now.
Yeah, this is my 4th of July since I didn't do anything last weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You mentioned that.
So it's going down.
Okay, so real quick, I just want to play this. We hear a lot of complaining right now in the NBA. And I love what Richard Jefferson said on The Jump. He's talking specifically about the players. And really the main point is remember why you're there. Here's Richard Jefferson.
It looks as expected. I know I'm going to be a little bit of a buzzkill here, but remember why you are there. That's the thing. Everyone had the option to not show up and not be penalized. You knew that these accommodations weren't going to be the St. Regis and the Four Seasons. I have played for the Utah Jazz, so I have stayed at an Embassy Suites before. So I understand that all of these accommodations aren't going to be what you want. But before you tweet out and before you crack jokes about the food and all this stuff, remember the names that are going to be on the back of your jerseys. Remember some of these things that you are fighting for, whether it's social reform, police reform, all of these things. So I'm okay with these early on jokes, but like once you're there and you're there a day or two, I want you back and focused, because remember, you said that you might not want to come back, a lot of athletes, because they didn't want it to be a distraction. Well, then don't be the distraction. Don't be the jokes about food. Don't be jokes about the accommodation. You have to stay focused in that bubble on the things that you want to focus on. And right now, all we're getting is all the jokes and the food and this and that. Well, you're actually distracting everybody from the stuff that you guys have wanted to focus on.
All right, not going to lie. Love every single thing Richard Jefferson said right there. And listen, It's not just about basketball, but it's your job, right? You're out there to go do your job. You're staying in an unbelievable place. Okay, maybe it's not the accommodations that you're always accustomed to. Maybe that food isn't up to par to the unbelievable steak and lobster that you're getting everywhere you go, staying at the Four Seasons and everything else. You're still at a resort. This is part of your job. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You know, I think it's entertaining to see what's happening in Orlando. I definitely do. But when I see somebody like Richard Jefferson kind of reminding all these players, well, why are you there? You're there to try and win a championship, or you're there because you do want to push social injustice issues that you can kind of bring to light and you could raise awareness for. So you got to appreciate that coming from Richard Jefferson. LA, it's been a great week. I appreciate everybody. Appreciate Brad Turner, who joined the show, Adrian Marquez, Garcia Marquez, who joined the show as well. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis. We'll get back at you on Monday for Lakers Talk. LA, have a great weekend.